Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present the following interview, entitled The Significance of the Work of Dr. Jordan Peterson. On January 24th of this year, Dr. Peterson visited the city of Riverside, California, to deliver a lecture on his new book, 12 Rules for Life. Father Josiah was able to attend this lecture and to personally meet and speak with Dr. Peterson. The following morning, Father Josiah was interviewed by a local radio program about the significance of Dr. Peterson's message. And now, Father Josiah.
Got social media? Yeah, so do we. Search Jen and Don Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Dr. Jordan Peterson is on a world tour that included a stop at Riverside's Fox Theater Thursday night. His star is rising. He puts liberal journalists in their place when they try to spout leftist orthodoxy, and his YouTube videos are going viral. I've watched a number of his videos that dismantle postmodernism and warn about cultural Marxism. So when I found out he was going to be at the Fox Theater right here in Riverside, I signed up, got tickets. But I got to tell you, I was not expecting what I saw last night. I have to say, as I was sitting there about 30 to 40 minutes into his talk, I was disappointed. His talk is based on his wildly popular book, 12 Rules for Life. Seemed elemental, basic, and even commonsensical at times, except for me, for the last 15 minutes. But I had a surprise in the lobby. I ran into a friend of the Jen and Don Show, Father Josiah Trenum. He is the pastors St. Andrew Orthodox Christian Church in Riverside. Been on our show any number of times, and also has spoken at our Unite IE conservative conferences. It's great to have you on with me, and it was great running into you last night.
It was a happiness to meet you, Don. It was great to see you in the lobby of the Fox.
So I got to tell you, I was disappointed up until the time I spoke with four millennials that I ran into when I went out to dinner afterwards. They were carrying his book, and I got into a conversation with them, and the light bulb for me didn't go on until one of them said something about that being raised as a child in an environment where everybody gets a participation trophy, and whatever makes you happy is fine, and they were insulated from failure, and it had left them adrift, and it hit me like a freight train that these kids shared their struggles with me in a structureless and foundationless life. Did you hear what you expected, and what was your reaction to some of the things that Dr. Jordan Peterson discussed last night?
You know, Don, Jordan Peterson is a phenom. I've been following him on the internet and talking about him with colleagues and friends and even my own parishioners for 2 years. I passed out this last year his 12 Rules for Life to all of my graduating high schoolers and college students in the parish. We always give them a book. And I gave them this book written by a clinical psychologist, not the kind of book you would typically expect your pastor to give you upon graduation, because I think it is so fascinating and extremely important. I'm a huge Jordan Peterson fan, and I went there as much for myself last night as simply to represent my community. And I found what he said and his approach exactly what I've seen on YouTube and in his books. He is a man who is a master observer, and this is his first great quality. I think he is an observer of rats. He referenced that in his talk last
night.
Yeah, as a clinician, as a psychologist, he has studied rats. He's studied all sorts of animals. He's a master observer of people, tens of thousands of clinician hours. And he's a master observer of books. The man has done a lot of hard work. This is one of the things that sets him apart from a lot of other talking heads in our culture today, is that he's not just talking about contemporary things. This man has spent many, many years in libraries with books, with sacred books like the scriptures. He has many videos and lectures on what he calls the great myths of religion, and especially dealing with Christian teachings from the book of Genesis, etc. He studies with an open heart the great traditions of many cultures. And then he takes these this hard-won knowledge, and he combines it with a great commitment to communication. He's a master communicator who's worked very hard at helping people understand deep truths by using contemporary illustrations. And I think that is the number one reason that when he speaks, people listen. He cares deeply about words, and he does not waste them.
Well, that was very clear. He spent a lot of time laboring over, you know, just saying things precisely right to, you know, get his point across. But in that first 45 minutes, now, just to further set the stage, this Fox Theater was virtually packed with what I thought was majorly a millennial audience, young people, many of them carrying his book, probably in the hopes of getting him to sign it, although for a lot of people that didn't take advantage of the VIP opportunity at the end of the night, I'm not sure they did. But about 30 minutes in, I thought I was actually sitting in a cult meeting, because the things he was talking about, I regarded as common sense. These are the things I grew up with. This is what I was taught. These were how my parents raised me. If you want to win, you got to put the effort out. If you lose, you use it as a character building opportunity and you move on. But what I got from these kids, especially the ones that I was, and I call them kids, especially the ones I ran into after the event, was that they got none of that growing up, that these folks really are lost. They don't understand what it means to have direction and goals in life, because that's the way he started out. If you want to get to point B, you start at point A, you aim at that, and he talked for 15 minutes about the process of moving through life from point A to point B, and I was sitting there thinking, well, this is the stuff. I mean, I grew up with this stuff, but these kids aren't.
You know, Don, not only are the younger generation not growing up with this, so I agree with you that if you are over the age, if you're over 55 or over, you are going to be familiar with many of his themes, there's no doubt. But the young are not only not being taught this, they have had these principles ridiculed and mocked. I just saw today on the news came across an article about some recent talking head celebrity who has resolved to raise her new child without gender.
Yes, yes. Funny.
Okay, that's how insane.
I saw that too.
That is so insane. That's how it is. And so these young people are they've gone to university, most of them. I sat in a small post session with Dave Rubin and about 15 other people. I'm 51. I was by far the oldest person in the room. And many of them were young academics, young professionals who repeated time and time again how they couldn't even talk about how they really felt about things because they're in such a nasty scenario at work or in their academic programs, and they don't know really how to negotiate that. So not only did they not get it, they had it mocked. And to hear a person like Dr. Peterson, who is repeating traditional teachings, but not from a traditional religious perspective. He's not saying the Bible says, he's not saying this is, you know, listen to me because I'm preaching the word of God, like you would expect me as a priest to say. He's a psychologist, and he's speaking the truth with his own psychological language, reaffirming what the great traditions have always said, and people are disarmed by this. They don't know how to respond to the man. He's so intelligent.
Well, and this is what got him, put him on the map, was the way that he was dealing with what I call gender Nazis on his campus that were demanding that he use the language, this new language. He said, fine, if you want me to call you he or she, that's fine, but I'm not going to surrender to this notion that I have to refer, that I have to buy into your adjustment to language. That's not my reality. I'm not going to do it. And that's what put him on the map. And that's what these kids, that's what this generation is now dealing with, and what leftism, what liberalism, what cultural Marxism is doing to the way that they interact with their lives with the world. He did mention one thing at the end that he talked specifically about where do rights come from, that they are inalienable, which, you know, he never really mentioned religion or spirituality until the very end when he referenced Genesis as well as inalienable rights. But the concept that you have rights seems, again, to be foreign to these to the folks that are coming up. They've never studied the Constitution or the fundamental principles that undergird it.
No, I agree with you. You know, he's a professor. He's a pedagogue, a psychologist. He's not really a politician. He's being used by people with great interests in politics. But even last night, as Dave Rubin was introducing him and speaking with him, he was very clear that Dr. Peterson is not primarily political. This is a man interested in fundamental truths that mm-hmm. undergird human existence, how you live as a person, how you relate to God, why you get out of bed in the morning, how you're going to relate to your wife, your husband, your children, your grandchildren, your colleagues. What is your relationship to work? I mean, his principles are absolutely fundamental. And I think one of the reasons we like him, too, is that he's distinctive as a teacher, Don, because the man is virtuous. I don't know if you noticed last night how many times he said how deeply honored he was to be able to speak with us. He was very humble. He doesn't think that he's something. And that sets him apart from many who are seeking our attention in our society. I think it also brings a certain potency to his teaching when we recognize that he's really applying it to himself. He's not saying, I have arrived. He's saying, look, these are the things I've gleaned through my labor of studying culture and studying people. And I'm suggesting that these are going to be excellent ways that if you follow classical wisdom, these 12 rules, which that's what it is, it's going to be good for you, and it's going to be good for those that you love.
Well, you said he was mentioning he was honored to speak with us, and I think that's largely due to the fact, my guess, he did not set himself on a trajectory to be a famous person. The fame, drew him out of his place and is now using all of those things that you just enumerated about who this person is. This wasn't his quest in life. He just stumbled into it. Can you hang with us for another couple of minutes? Because there's a couple of thoughts
Absolutely.
That I want to explore with you about how this applies to where we are, in fact, politically today. We're talking to Father Josiah Trenum. He pastors St. Andrew Christian Orthodox Church in Riverside. I ran into him at Dr. Jordan Peterson's talk at the Fox Theater last night. We'll continue the conversation after the break here on the Jen and Don Show.
Welcome back to the Jen and Don Show. Visit our brand new website. Log on to jenanddonshow.com today. Now, here's Jen and Don.
We're talking to Father Josiah Trenum of St. Andrew Christian Orthodox Church in the Riverside area. If you've never been to this church, you need to go, because what this body has put together under the guidance of Father Trenum is an amazing church in that draws on the original architecture of churches. Give us a 30-second, before we get back into the talk of Dr. Jordan Peterson that we shared last night, give us 30 seconds of what your church is, what the architecture is based on.
Well, you know, Don, Christians began building churches as soon as we were legalized under Emperor Constantine. So remember, the first three centuries of Christian history, we were illegal assemblies, and the Romans were very threatened by us. As soon as the Edict of Milan happened in 312 and Emperor Constantine became Christian, it was like a compressed spring, and churches just were built in all the great cities of the empire. And they built them. They first took over the great Roman buildings, the Senate buildings, the public gathering spaces that were the best buildings of the Roman Empire, and then added Christian ornaments to them. We built them in the shape of a cross, so most Orthodox and Catholic churches traditionally are based in the shape of a cross. And they were, as soon as we invented architecturally domes, we put domes on them to represent heaven, and we basically made them the centerpieces of our cities, towns, and villages so that people could have a common place to come and pray to God and be together. Whether you were rich or poor, the church was the most glorious building, and you could be changed by being in it. And that's what we're still seeking to do.
It is an amazing building. Do yourself a favor, attend a service at this church, and you will be simply taken back to the third century. It's an amazing service. It's an amazing church. We're talking about the discussion last night at the Fox Theater. Dr. Jordan Peterson appeared, gave about a two-hour lecture, including the Q&A. And as I said in the beginning, I was hoping for a conversation about things like cultural Marxism and postmodernism. Having studied his work, if you will, a lot of it is in response to trying to wake people up to the this growing cultural Marxism that is infecting academia. It's even affecting the Christian churches in many cases. Tell us a little bit about this and why and what you've observed in his work in this area.
You know, Don, before Dr. Peterson became kind of a social phenom 2 years ago, he was a studious, well-thought-of academic. He taught at Harvard and then at the University of Toronto. He spent more than two decades evaluating people. He wrote a very thick manuscript called The Maps of Meaning, definitely over the head of your average American. But in that study, he gave particular attention to studying the psychology of malevolence, the minds of the evil. And he studied especially Stalin and Marxist Soviet Union and the incredible bloodletting of the 20th century, which was the bloodiest century in the history of the human race. He studied the Nazis, he studied the communists, and that study is one of the things that has compelled him now, has kind of propelled him to popularity, because he's able to speak about certain aspects of political tyranny and common themes in Marxist tyranny that he sees today taking place. So, for instance, the demonization of speech, which is how he really came to prominence into the public view. He was being asked by the University of Toronto. It was being demanded that he use certain language. And he, on principle, refused to do that, saying that that is a clear sign of movement to tyranny. Hate speech, which doesn't exist in the history of America. Our Constitution knows nothing about hate speech. In fact, hate speech is, on principle, opposed to the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The Constitution doesn't recognize such a thing. In fact, speech we don't like, speech that we hate, is the very kind of speech that is protected by the First Amendment. If we only said things that make people happy, we wouldn't need a First Amendment whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And when he saw this, he began to point out that this is exactly the kind of creep. This is just a statist creeping that leads to tyranny. And he has been able to speak very forcefully. He's dripping. The man is dripping in the writings of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, for instance, the great Russian author who wrote the three-volume Gulag Archipelago and actually revealed to the world the kind of oppression that was going on in Marxist Russia and the nature of what people were going through in concentration camps there, the incredible poverty that followed Marxism, the great famines that were orchestrated even by the heads of state in the Soviet period that led to the death of millions and millions of people. And he is deeply gripped by this, and he thinks it has tremendous relevance to our own society.
And seeing all those folks that were there that are hearing his work and studying them, in fact, who have been raised in, and I firmly believe that unless we recapture control of our schools and rid it of this cultural Marxism that's teaching everything from a perverted sex education curriculum to completely rewriting the history of the United States and glorifying some of these other governmental constructs, until we can get control of our schools, I believe that the Republic could very well be lost. Does it encourage you to see the response to Jordan Peterson's work from kids that have grown up under this tyranny, as you put it?
You know, Don, I am deeply encouraged. As a matter of fact, when I had a few moments last evening to speak with Dr. Peterson myself, I told him just really two things. I said, Dr. Peterson, thank you.
Mm.
Deeply, deeply grateful for what you're offering our culture right now. I said, and the second thing, I said, what can I do for you? How can I pray for you? I'm a priest. That's what we do. And he said, please pray for my strength. The man is being tapped, and he has a very, very important message for us. And that is hopeful. So in answer to your question, yes, I'm very hopeful. If young people are catching fire by truth, presented with humility and the acquisition of virtue, something that is so classic in Western civilization and absolutely missing on the campuses today, that is only positive. I don't think, however, that this is, he has a positive message for our higher institutions of learning. Our secular universities
right.
are absolutely corrupt. Remember, this has all taken place. His being propelled to prominence has all taken place because of oppression that he experienced in the university, even though he was one of their most famous professors and was tenured. Nevertheless, he still was pressed so hard into a corner that he had to take a stand. And at the cost, you know, he was prepared to lose his position and even go to jail. I mean, this was he had no idea that after a few years he was going to actually be selling 3 million books and traveling around the world speaking as a very popular figure. This man was on the edge of prison, and we shouldn't forget that. That's how dangerous our campuses are today. They really are places of oppression where education, classical education, has no place these days. So I don't feel that we're in a positive moment for our universities. What Dr. Peterson is doing is trying to create an entirely new platform, an online digital university. It's just in its nascent form, and we have a lot to wait to see what's happening. But he's thinking out loud with many other important academics who share his perspective on life in America. And I think that's positive. And in fact, we may be moving from a traditional what we know as the traditional university system into something else. And if that takes place, I say, please bring it on.
I'm so glad that I ran into you, and I can't believe what a student of Dr. Peterson you are. It's awesome that we connected and that we could have you on our show tonight to give us your very studied insights into the importance of his work and the importance of this man at this time in our greater culture. You're a blessing to our community, Father Trenham, and I thank you, Father Trenham of St. Andrew Orthodox Church, here on the Jen and Don Show, talking about the talk that Dr. Peterson gave here in Riverside last night. This has been the Jen and Don Show on AM 590 The Answer.
We hope that you have enjoyed and have been edified by this presentation offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, a nonprofit organization committed to nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers. If you are interested in other available titles, or if you would like more information on Patristic Nectar Publications, please visit our website at www.patristicnectar.org. Again, that's www.patristicnectar.org.